Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio, and how the tech are ya? As for myself, I'm a little under the weather. I'm struggling with a migraine, which makes it difficult to function. And I'm working on an epic episode, but it is not finished yet. And due to feeling a little under the weather, I thought we could listen to a classic episode of Tech Stuff today. And there's a reason why I picked this one. The episode is called Tech Stuff Samples Some Raspberry Pi. And the reason I wanted to talk about the Raspberry Pi at all is because I've been looking into going the MAME arcade emulator route using a Raspberry Pi as the brains behind it. I'll talk more about that at the end of this episode. But for now, let's enjoy this classic episode, which originally aired on February 20th, 2012, more than a decade ago. Enjoy.
Today we're going to sort of discuss one of our favorite topics, yes. But you're about to reveal, longtime listeners will know why this is going to be a difficult one.
Yep. First of all, this comes to us courtesy of a little Facebook feedback.
Yippee!
This comes from Arthur. He says, "Hey guys, I was wondering if you could maybe do a podcast on the Raspberry Pi computer."
Pi.
I love Pi. Pi is awesome.
Yes, both the number and the food, especially when the food and the number converge.
Yes, because it is, in this case, Raspberry Pi is spelled P-I like the number, but it has raspberry like the delicious fruity filling that we all love. So, okay. It is not the next build of Android.
No. In fact, it's specifically not Android. But, you know, Jonathan, do you remember the episode we recorded not too long ago about Commodore 64?
I do recall such an episode.
We're laughing to ourselves because In recording time, we did that last week. So, you know, the episodes will be spaced out, so it's not that close together.
But yeah, anyway. But don't worry, we're already spaced out enough as it is.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things we touched on in the Commodore 64 episode was that this was that machine sold a lot of computers to a lot of people. And one of the things that people did with those, especially young people in the day, it was fun to create your own programs.
Yeah, to learn exactly how programming works. In fact, the Commodore 64 was the best-selling computer of all time, if you look at a very specific model of computer.
Yes.
So the Commodore 64 sold, I think it was 17 million units, which was pretty incredible for a single device.
Especially given the time at which it was sold and the price at which it sold. That was not the heyday of computing, but it's really sort of started the whole snowball rolling. And for a lot of people, people who create your favorite software, games and other programs, a lot of them sort of cut their teeth on the Commodore 64. Not
Which was easy
literally.
To do because those were really big, bulky, heavy machines.
I knew he was going to say that. No, they got their feet wet programming. Let's use a different analogy.
Yeah, which, by the way, I do not recommend when you're using electrical devices.
I knew as soon as I said that. Okay. So actually, the device we're talking about now, the Raspberry Pi, is created to do really very much the same thing.
Yeah. In fact, there's a great backstory to this device.
That's what I think is the really compelling part of this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the device itself is awesome, too. But,
yes.
But the reason behind it is fantastic. So over in jolly old England, across the pond, and I promise I'm not going to do my terrible fake English accent today, a fellow by the name of Eben Upton, who worked in admissions at Cambridge University and also would do lectures there, he noticed a disturbing trend.
Yes.
Incoming students who are interested in studying computer science seem to be to have a less of a grasp on the way computers work than previous generations of students. So in other words, as time has gone on, people, the incoming classes, seem to be more ignorant of the way computers work than the previous class. Which, you know, you'd think that's odd because we're in a world where computers are much more pervasive than they ever have been before, to the point where you might have a computer in your pants pocket as a smartphone or a tablet on your desk, or even the device you're listening to right now might very well be considered a computer.
Well, computers are in lots of things. Computers are in your car and in your fridge and in all sorts of other stuff. But the thing is, today's computers, the computer, the one that sits on your desktop or a laptop or desktop machine, those computers just work.
Yeah.
And
do everything for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back when we were talking about the old Commodore 64 days, those were days where you're using a interface where it's all text-based. You're typing stuff into the computer to get it to do things. Mm-hmm. And people were wondering, well, wait, how does this work? How does what I type in translate into this action? And how can I create my own programs knowing that there's this one language I can use to build something that, you know, when you execute a command, it does something kind of cool. And you got a lot of people getting into it and sort of a hobbyist level.
Right.
Well, those people, when they would go to school, some of them would say, you know, I loved tinkering with that stuff. I want to learn more about it. This is what I'm going to pursue as a career. And they became that generation of computer engineers and scientists. Well, the problem is that we've got these devices that are now so sophisticated and do so much for us that level of tinkering has been taken out. It's really hard to tinker with a device that's running, say, a sophisticated graphic user interface.
Right.
You know, you're not seeing the underlying programming that's making this all go, and you might very well not have very much exposure to it. And in fact, Upton's point was that he said that the students he was encountering, most of them had little to no understanding of any programming. If they had anything, it was HTML programming, which is not really programming. HTML is a markup language. It changes the way stuff looks, but it's not truly a programming language.
Right. You know, if I may be permitted an analogy, I think it's sort of like somebody going to say, you know what, I want to become a mechanic. And somebody goes, okay, so you have a car. What makes it go? Well, I step on the gas and it makes it go. yeah, but what about the engine? What about the parts of an engine? Yeah. And they go, I don't know.
I know that stepping on the gas makes it move forward.
I know that I put the groceries in the trunk and at the other end, there's something.
Exactly.
I don't know.
And that was Upton's point, was that students only had a very superficial understanding of computers. They had nothing, and it seemed like it was getting worse each year.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you have computers now that come with programming languages built into the computer. When you take it home and unwrap it and take it out of the box, it's got that stuff. But a lot of people don't even mess with it.
Right.
And he wanted people to be able to get started programming in a very inexpensive way.
Yeah, and so Upton realized, and this is all stated on the Raspberry Pi. It's stated on their webpage. So if you go to the webpage, you can actually read this whole story that we're summarizing here. But Upton's point was that he knows that access does not automatically solve a problem.
No.
Right? But that without access, you can't solve a problem.
Exactly.
And so one of the things he thought would be important is to try and create a very, very low-cost computer that would give people the opportunity to really play with programming in a way that hasn't been seen since the days of the Commodore 64 and other computers of that era.
Yes, yes.
And so he set out to try and create as an affordable a computer as possible. This is essentially, it's a non-profit approach. It's a charity approach to this.
Yes.
So that you could get as many of them into schools and into private hands as possible, so that kids mostly, could really get their hands on some programming. And perhaps this would inspire the next generation of computer engineers.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they're talking about the possibility of a buy one, send one approach in the future. As at the time we're recording this in January 2012, they just started manufacturing these devices, probably within the last 6 to 8 weeks, what I understand.
And
so they're still pretty new.
And if you go to the shop, they are not actually in the shop. The only thing that's in the shop right now are stickers for keyboards.
Yeah. They might send one later. A lot of the places like One Laptop Per Child do that, where you can purchase a machine for someone else who may not otherwise be able to afford one, and they will send it out and help somebody get started, which I think is a nice idea.
Yeah, and Raspberry Pi does the same thing, where you can choose Pi. Where you can choose to actually send it to, instead of purchasing one for yourself, you just spend the money in order for someone else to have this device. So let's talk about what the device actually is.
Well, the device, if you're looking for something, if you're one of those people who looks at a computer and it just works, this device may be kind of mystifying to you because it doesn't have a case.
Yeah.
It looks like a
circuit board. Yeah.
With stuff on it.
Yep. It's kind of interesting. It's the heart of a computer, but it's a tiny, tiny size. Actually, I think I have the
diagram. It looks like this. I'll hold it up to the mic.
Yeah.
Maybe you can. Okay,
everyone,
you can take a look
around
at it at the Raspberry Pi site.
Right. No, I was gonna actually give the the measurements.
Okay.
Of it.
85.6 millimeters by 53.98 millimeters, and that's length and width. Depth
and 17 millimeters for the depth.
17.
As I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
it's tiny.
Yeah. It's
about the size of a smartphone, a phablet.
Yeah, it's the size. I hate that. You did that just to see the vein twitch in my forehead.
It's got a few interfaces soldered onto the board.
Yep.
Of course, it's got a processor chip, a Broadcom BCM2835 ARM chip. It's 700 megahertz.
Yep.
It's not the fastest thing in the world, but it does have an RCA video out, an audio jack, USB 2. An Ethernet jack on one of the two. They have an A and a B model.
Yeah.
They have an HDMI port,
yep.
Micro USB for power, and
yep.
an SD card slot. It also will work on batteries.
Yes, yes. Four AA's, I think, is what it will work on. But you can also use the micro USB and plug in a cable and either plug that into another device or into a wall to power it.
So it's got no monitor installed, though you can hook it up to one. It's got it's got networking capabilities.
Yep.
No Wi-Fi.
It weighs 45 grams or 1/10 of a pound.
Mm-hmm. It does have a few LEDs to tell you how it's working.
Yep.
And
so essentially what you would do with this thing is, let's say that you have the Model A.
Okay.
Okay, so you would use an HDMI out probably, for it to go out to a television or a monitor. And then you would use a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. You would plug your headphones in so you could get sound. Although with HDMI, that's going to carry sound too. So you could actually have sound straight through the monitor if your monitor has speakers in it. Mm-hmm. So if you're using a television, you could just use the TV speakers. You would also use a USB keyboard and plug that into it. And then you've got your keyboard user interface. If you wanted to have a mouse, then what you would need to do is get a USB hub. Uh-huh. Plug that into...
Or a keyboard that has ports on it.
Right. In which case, the keyboard itself is a hub. But anyway, you got to have a USB hub, possibly in the shape of a keyboard. And then you could plug your mouse into that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that it doesn't have a hard drive on it.
Nope.
But you could get a...
Doesn't have a clock on it either.
Yeah, you could get an external hard drive and plug that into it if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
You would have using a lot of existing technology, you might have to actually go out and buy the keyboard. The funny thing is the keyboard might actually cost more than the Raspberry Pi.
It depends on the,
the two models, the Model A that has no Ethernet is $25.
Mm-hmm.
The Model B that has Ethernet is a princely $35.
Okay.
Bringing the princely back.
Yep. There was a Model T and you could get it in any color as long as it's black.
We'll be back to talk more about the Raspberry Pi in just a moment.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The two models, $25 and $35, that's incredibly affordable for a fully functional computer. And you might wonder, well, what does this computer run? These are designed to run specific Linux distros.
Yes. So we're not talking Windows or the Mac OS or even certain... Linux distributions like Ubuntu do not work with it yet. It doesn't run Android at the moment.
Originally, it was going to run Ubuntu, but then Ubuntu realized, the people behind Ubuntu realized that they were not hitting their schedule properly, so they knew that they were not going to be able to build in support for Raspberry Pi.
It did sound like it's something that Canonical, the company behind Ubuntu and other distributions of Linux, are working on.
Yeah,
but it's not currently available.
The specific ones that are available at launch are Debian, Fedora, and Arch Linux.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Those are the three that can work right off the top of the as soon as it ships. Yeah. And there have been some beta ones sent out already.
Mm-hmm. It also sounded like it's possible that the makers of Raspberry Pi, would be willing to accept Android, but they're not going to port it themselves. Somebody else, if somebody else does it, they'll be cool with that.
Yeah.
But,
in other words, this is a very open source kind of approach where the community is going to provide a lot of the actual content and functionality beyond just the basics that the foundation that has been created to do this will do. Also, the Model A and Model B, I should mention, they also have different amounts of memory.
Yes.
Model A is 128 megabytes of memory. Model B is 256 megabytes of memory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think the Model B actually has two USB ports.
Yes.
Which could be good because you could plug in a Wi-Fi dongle into one of the Raspberry Pi devices to give it Wi-Fi connectivity, but it's not built into the board.
Yeah, yeah. That's the nice thing about USB, right? Is that there's so many different peripherals that use that standard that can really extend the functionality of any computer, but particularly for something like this where it's just a very creative approach to solving this problem. So, the whole goal here is that you get this device in as many hands as possible. And the Linux distros are designed in such a way that that they do kind of harken back to that Commodore 64 day, mm-hmm. where it requires a certain level of investment on the part of the user to learn how the system works and to really kind of explore it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole purpose of this. It's not just that it's a cheap computer that can get into the hands of people. The ultimate purpose is to inspire people to really look into programming and learn more about it and possibly become the next, genius programmer.
Mm-hmm.
And so mainly they're going to be working with the Python programming language.
Yeah.
But there are also other languages supported, including BASIC. although it's, from what I understand, it's a form of BASIC called BBC BASIC. There's also the C programming language and Perl.
Ah, okay.
So there will be other languages probably added in. Support will be added in later. It's any programming language. The limitation is that the programming language has to have support for Linux, mm-hmm. because that's the operating system, and for ARM.
The processor.
Processors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because not every programming language works with every processor.
Nope.
It's one of those tricky things about computers is that, just when you think you got it all figured out, you realize that there's a hardware limitation.
Yeah, but those languages that you mentioned for the most part are processor neutral.
Yeah.
I mean, those Python, C, Perl, they're all cross-platform.
Yeah.
And you might be saying, well, you guys, that sounds pretty cool and all, but for the general public, why is that interesting? Well, for one thing, it gives more people a chance to try out computer programming inexpensively. I mean, this is something that if you've always wanted to do, this could be a cool way to get into to hacking and learning how to write your own software and how computers work. I mean, this is an inexpensive way to get your feet wet. You could try programming.
Okay.
But there's also another audience that, the Raspberry Pi people are not discouraging at all. And those are the people who already know how to do this stuff, but want to try making something else out of this little computer. And one of the things I've already seen them do is messing with XMBC.
Yeah.
Which is a media center. It's an open source media center. It's available again. This is cross-platform. You can build your own. You remember that was a podcast from a long time ago. Building your own media center.
Yeah.
But this operating system works for existing machines: Linux, Windows, Mac OS X. Works on all of them. But seen XMBC running on a Raspberry Pi.
We've got a little bit more to say about the Raspberry Pi after these messages.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the question is, what can makers do with this device? We talked about the Arduino and the microcontroller board. This is another device like that.
Exactly.
In this, the way that you can.
I would say this is to computers what Arduino is to circuits.
Yes.
So, I've already heard about people who are interested in robotics using this as a component in their next robot. Yes. I also saw a video online of a guy who had created a essentially what amounts to an Apple TV using this, where he could push video from an iPad to a television through the Raspberry Pi. The applications are numerous. So and the nice thing is at $25 or $35 a pop, it's a really affordable component. I mean, you're talking about hobbies that, you know, hobbyists in these areas are sometimes accustomed to spending multiple hundreds of dollars on projects. So when you suddenly have like the brains of your project is $25 or $35, that opens up a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, even if you went down to the computer store and you said, I want to build a computer, I'm going to need a case for my computer.
You're never going to have a computer cheaper than $35.
No. And I believe they're also talking about a case. So if that's putting you off.
Yeah, there's no case right now, but that there are plans for that in the future. Yeah, so it's that's one thing some folks have said, like, well, it looks a little kludgy. Like, it looks a little like, you know, you've got this hardware showing that to some people just seems a little weird. Like, it looks like
a naked circuit board.
Yeah, it looks like someone went crazy and took a radio apart or something, and now there's just these pieces sitting around. So there is talk about creating a case, although I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people out there who are going to the folks that I think really this appeals to are the same ones who will go out and build their own cases.
Mm-hmm.
Who
probably.
Will, you know, you'll end up seeing like some really crazy, interesting variations on cases for the Raspberry Pi.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Pi.
And I've already seen a Lego based case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. Of course,
that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. Of course, you don't want to completely seal it off because you've got to not only provide access to the ports, but also provide a little cooling, make sure a little air can get to it. But yeah, I mean, for considering it will take wired or wireless connections, and I'm including power in that, you can do all kinds of things with this little device.
Yeah.
And possibly get a whole new generation of people interested in what it takes to learn programming and learn what you can do with computers of all kinds. You know, I think this is an excellent opportunity and a great idea. And the nice thing is too that all the hackers will, who are buying up the machines will also provide money for the charity side, who can then possibly distribute these to people who are just getting started, who may not necessarily have the money to get involved.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's a really cool idea, and you know what, I can predict already that I'm going to pick one of these up
as soon as
I can, because I mean, for $35, how can I not?
Yeah,
and it would just be cool to have something where I could, you know, have a device specifically where I'm learning to program, maybe do a couple of these hacks, and just sort of experiment with it. You know, use it for what it was intended for, really,
to
learn about programming. And frankly, while I know about programming, I've never really gotten into it on a deep level. Back when I was a kid, I started getting into it with BASIC.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, me too.
But you know, I never went far beyond the program that when you tell it to run, it prints out a picture of a cake or something.
Or maybe a pie?
Maybe a pie. But, I was trying to avoid it because I think at this point, if people have been counting up how many times we've said pie, they've got to be exhausted by now.
Well, you know, we'd have to stick with that because the cake is a lie.
Yes, that's true.
So, no,
the cake
but
is a lie.
This is seriously nifty stuff.
Yeah.
And the things that you're learning are not just applicable to this little computer, but
right.
also to other computers.
Yeah,
and once you get started,
it to other stuff. Yeah, yeah, it's really good because it'll give you the foundation, the basics that you need to be able to build more complex programs. And once you get that foot in the door where you've got that understanding, then it's really all, it's just up to you about how far you want to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm really excited to see how this develops and whether or not it ends up being a successful program. I certainly hope it is because it's clear that the people who are part of this foundation, their hearts are in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, they recognize that creating an accessible machine is just part of the problem. You can't just give people access to stuff and expect that to solve everything. But, it's a good first step. So hopefully maybe in a generation or two, maybe less, but maybe like in 10 years when, Cambridge is looking at the students that are applying to study computers, they're going to find that, they're much more, knowledgeable about mm-hmm. the field than the folks who applied this year.
Yep.
No slight against anyone who's at Cambridge, by the way.
No.
I have nothing but respect for your comedy programs. What? I mean, that produced half of Monty Python.
Yeah, okay, but, yeah, and another nice thing is, since it is a charity organization, I feel comfortable giving out their address on the podcast, which is Raspberry Pi with, you know, P-I, not the, with an E.
Right.
.org. Now, .com is also belongs to them, but that's the store specifically. If you want to learn more about the device and the group that is making it and all of that, go to the raspberrypi.org site and they will, provide you with all the information you need there.
But, yep. And I can't wait to see what kind of crazy hacks come out of all this. Cause you know, there are going to be people out there who are going to apply this in ways that we just can't even conceive of at this moment.
Oh yeah.
And those are going to be really awesome.
It's going to have an instant following, I think, just because it's so affordable and, people are going to want to mess with it.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
people who are not necessarily, you know, the people you would consider makers or hackers now, I think they'll go, you know what? I can afford that. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that classic episode. Like I said, I've been thinking about creating a MAME machine, a multi-arcade machine emulator. And emulators are all about using hardware or software to replicate some other form of hardware or software. You are emulating it. So you're trying to replicate the effects, but you're not necessarily following in the exact same, you know, structure as the original piece of technology. And with MAME machines, you're talking about a device that is capable of playing arcade games on it. So the first thing you have to do is build a MAME machine, and the Raspberry Pi has proven to be a very popular choice for people who are in that hobby. Right now, the Raspberry Pi 4 is the device of choice, but we do expect to have the fifth version of Raspberry Pi released sometime this year. So I've been holding off a bit, waiting for that before I kind of dip my toe in and try and do this, just to kind of future-proof it a little bit. But yeah, the whole idea is that you get the machine, you program it, you get a memory card reader, and you get a memory card that has what they're called images of games on it. All of this can get a little tricky. Like, there are ways to go about this in a legal way, because there are a lot of folks out there who have images of these games, but they didn't actually have permission to do it. So it's going to be tricky. I want to make sure I do this, you know, in an upright, straightforward way. I don't believe in just some taking cases, something. It may just be mine. That it's abandoned gameware. Like, there are no entities that own the rights anymore for some of these games. And in those cases, it gets a little, you know, fuzzy about whether or not it's ethical to download an image. But that's pretty far off for me. I still have to actually get the device itself and then get all the other components together to make an arcade cabinet. This was just one of those projects that I think would be kind of neat to do, and I've looked at a lot of videos online about it. So that's why I thought it would be fun to go back to this classic episode and learn about the Raspberry Pi. Now, granted, things have changed quite a bit since that original Raspberry Pi. There have been multiple versions that have come out since then with more advanced capabilities. But the purpose is still the same. It's a simplified computer device that allows for programming experience on a level that otherwise would probably be prohibitively expensive. So very interesting, and a lot of people use Raspberry Pis for all sorts of projects, not just, you know, arcade machines, but there are people who use it in robotics and other interesting technological applications that really show an incredible sense of innovation. So I highly recommend you check into Raspberry Pis if you have any interest at all in that, even if you just want to see what people have done with it and what is possible with it. There's an entire community out there that is incredible, and I encourage you to check it out. If you have suggestions for topics we should cover on future episodes of Tech Stuff, please reach out to me. Best way to do that is on Twitter. The handle for the show is TechStuffHSW, and I'll talk to you again really soon.
Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.